time is weird. It's a weird time. It's a weird day. It's the future.
It is the future. I was trying to answer one quick text message that just said, are you allergic to cats? My answer is yes.
And what was the answer? Oh, you were being asked, I see.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I'll deal. Can't wait to find out what you just signed up for.
Just trying to do a work session.
In a cat cafe? Okay.
Well, I was like, okay, no, it makes sense. My friend has like a whiteboard at her place. So I was like, this makes sense. It'll be sensible to do it.
Yeah.
And then the cats thing, I'm like, ugh. But what could possibly go wrong? I'll take a cat medicine.
That's for cats.
Some kind. Damn. But what happens?
I think that medicine's for cats. what happens if you take it?
A human takes it. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the film Spider-Man?
Oh, yeah. Cat powers.
Then you know what happens. Yeah, you have the power of indifference, very sharp teeth, and you can shit in a box. Mm-hmm.
That would all be. What if I came in with a cat attitude? Yeah.
Yay! Oh,
that'd be so weird.
If Andrew came in full catitude, just aloof.
Mm-hmm. Tawny and I are waiting for you, and we're like, who's crying at the door right now?
I mean, that's what I am, is I have the energy of a cartoon. Like, I have a cartoon Garfield energy, but not actual cat energy.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Is that just because you like lasagna?
I do love lasagna. We didn't get to talk about lasagna on my... It's too late, I think. I feel like lasagna time has passed.
You're right. It's mid-April, Andrew. Lasagna time has passed. No one knows what we're talking about, and we're going to keep it that way. This is the program, Yo, Is This Racist? It's a podcast where we eventually listen to your voicemails about racism.
But we don't like it, but we do it.
We do it. We get into some current-ish events. You know what's so funny?
Yes. Go. So I was going to say, listen, even though this is going to be slightly disjointed from time, I still think the power of what we're talking about is so tiny that we have no choice. And I feel like I'm just going to say whatever you have to say about it will transcend space and time.
That is my hope.
Take it away.
I've prepared this lecture. No, but obviously it came out a couple weeks ago, but you know I got to talk about Cowboy Carter. You know I got to talk about that Beyonce album. I don't have like hot takes, partly because I'm still like absorbing and digesting and listening. Mm-hmm. I'm not having the same experience I did with Renaissance where I was just like, oh my God, I've been dying for a dance album. I was really wanting like a house music album. And because Renaissance, like all of the, or I should say Renaissance Act One, I don't know if this is technically part of, whatever, this is Act Two of her grand movement.
This is what Zig sounds like when he's talking about anime, but you're talking about the Beyonce extended universe.
Yeah. The BEU. I'm having a different experience where I am really like absorbing track by track and like listening. And then I'm like, you know, I'm on socials and I'm like learning about the contributors more because she collaborated with a lot of people that were new to me. And so it's a very like immersive, you know, I'm like, I'm following Mama Tina. Her mom is like posting so much about it. It's so cute. But it is like more of a, it's more of an immersive experience for me in that way. And that I'm really like loving. One of the things I did really want to talk about is I'm loving seeing all of the like white women legends like Nancy Sinatra and Dolly and all of them and like Linda Carter hyping it up, you know. But like Dolly, obviously, so on the record, Beyonce does a version of Jolene. It's not exactly a cover because it changes some lyrics.
So intense.
It's pretty intense. But it also has... You know what I thought was really smart is that she's got these little interludes. Some of them are done by Willie Nelson, but Dolly does one right before Jolene, like a little introduction to Jolene. And I just felt like that was really smart because I don't have a Jolene take for public consumption right now, but there's a lot of takes about it. And I just thought it was really smart to have to have Mama Dolly like tee it up and say like, not only did I give my blessing, yeah, I am like actively saying, I like this. I love this woman. I love what she's done with it. Here it is, you know, to hopefully squash some of the, just some of the rampant haterade and bigotry out there about Beyonce doing anything in this genre. But she does that a lot. She does that in really smart ways. She has these kind of legends on there, like Willie Nelson co-signing, you know, this genre breaking and bending album, which is unfortunate that it's necessary, but really smart on her part to just have some of that on there. But yeah, I've just been loving seeing, I saw a post by Nancy Sinatra because one of Beyonce's songs, Yeah Yeah, samples Boots Are Made for Walking. And Nancy on her Instagram was just like, this is the best sample of Boots. Like so many people have sampled it, but I think this is the best one. That's so cool and touching. Like they don't have to do that. They could just make their little coin and shut up and be like, who cares who's using our music? But the support, I think, has been really, really heartening for me to witness.
I have already started saying, and I guess by the time this episode comes out, it'll be even more cycles of discourse. But people saying, like, why are we bringing up this whole, like, CMT thing? Like, Beyonce... Because I was just like, my understanding of it was probably the most ignorant one, which was like, this was like, seems like it was partially motivated by her getting like the people at Country Music Television. Is that what CMT is?
Yeah, Country Music Television Awards.
Just being like unbelievably racist about her performance.
Yeah, she performed at the CMT Awards in 2016 with the Chicks, and there was like a huge backlash, and apparently like in the room they could feel people like talking over her, or like, you know.
Yeah.
So the first song on the album, American Requiem, she's literally like, there's a lot of talking going on while I sing my song. Can you stand me? So it is a response to that. It's funny, and hearing Natalie Maines from the Chicks talk about that working with Beyonce, she's like, this was the greatest working week of our lives. It was so incredible to like work with this, you know, just incredible professional and performer. And then to get met with that on stage was really terrible. It's always interesting when like the good whites stand alongside us when we experience a racism done unto us. And then they're like, oh, this feels really bad. And you're like, yeah, see? But yeah, what were you going to say about that discourse?
Yeah, I guess the things I was seeing on Twitter, which maybe is just like I shouldn't look at Twitter or my section of Twitter, but just like this album transcends that. Like this whole like this is not about, you know, like Beyonce reacting to racists. It shouldn't just be about that, I guess. I don't know. I liked that part of it, which is why I was a little like, oh, maybe I mean, I'm sure I have the wrong opinion, but it was like, oh, I didn't realize I had the wrong opinion about this. But
I don't think you do, because in her Instagram caption, when she announced this album 10 days before she put it out, she literally said this was inspired by, you know, being in a situation where I was not welcomed. I didn't feel welcome. It was clear that I wasn't. So that was the inspiration. The whole album's not about that. Barely. Even,
right. Like, maybe that's it.
Yeah,
I think maybe that's what people are being prickly about. It's like, you think it's, you're being reductive and not listening to the album. But here's the thing about me is I like spite. So I like the idea that the whole thing's out of spite.
Well, you can definitely make an argument that it would not exist in this way had there not been that, you know, that wrong done to her. But I think like all good artists, she takes something, you know, she takes the spite and she turns it into something huge. I mean, it truly is genre exploding in a way that I truly did not expect. I just kind of thought she was going to do a very good country album. And it is like, it's so many genres. Like it is, it's kind of wild. It's so wild too. First of all, like genres inherently tied to race. We've talked about it on this show before, because genres were created at a time, you know, during segregation in this country, to where you'd walk into the record store and you literally had race records, which just meant a black person made it, so those records had to go over here. So they started to dictate the types of songs and the types of music that would be played on certain radio stations, and it all fell along racial lines. So there have always been black people making country music and Americana music and roots music. They just, you know, sometimes had to call it R&B or sometimes just had to call it gospel, or they did call it country, but they wouldn't get played on the country stations. And so to act like Black people haven't been in the genre forever is just factually incorrect and ignorant. But so what she's doing with that is really not only honoring the legends, people like Linda Mitchell, who was the first Black woman to play the Grand Ole Opry. She's honoring current legends, people who are new to me, like Raina Roberts, Shaboozey. Actually, the only current collaborators that I had heard of were Rhiannon Giddens, who's a Black woman who plays like banjo and bluegrass music. She's the banjo player on the big single Texas Hold'em. And Tanner Adele, who's like this little TikTok girly that I'd run across just from like viral music shit. Had no idea she was collaborating on the album. She sings on Blackbird with her, which is also like such a different style of country. Like, it's so modern to where it almost just kind of sounds like hip hop in some places. And what Beyonce does a lot on Cowboy Carter is really harken back to, like, you know, some of my favorite shit, which is all of the super traditionalist, you know, old school classic country. Which is, yeah, it was before a lot of the political associations with what we think of country nowadays. A lot of times they were protest songs. You think of Johnny Cash, you know, you think of people like Dolly. There's a reason why those old school country artists aren't the MAGA hat wearing bigots that we come to associate with the genre now. Because they were like, you know, they were working people's songs about protest and about, you know, family and life. I don't know. I'm rambling. But I thought I was really happy to see her like harken back to that era of the music.
I'm so excited to listen to it. And just like what you were saying too, at the beginning about the kind of like sign off and approval from the other musicians, just like, I really do think that is taken for granted by so many like fans of shows musicians and stuff too. Of there's just so many fans and musicians who will recommend artists that they like, and without even thinking twice, I'm you just trust them because you like their music. I'm like, okay, great. And then I learn of so many new and up and coming bands just because a musician that I like was like, these guys are cool, you should check them out. And so to have so many like prolific, you know, famous people spanning decades of country all signing off on it is just, it's going to do so much just for the shitty white people who immediately are going to be like, well, I don't know. And it's like, well, look, here's them literally saying this is cool. And then they're like, yeah. Well, okay, well, I trust them. So that kind of like formulaic thing of it is fascinating. And I think, very, very cool.
There's literally an interlude. There's a Willie Nelson. There's a couple of them, but there's a great Willie Nelson interlude where he's basically like, I forget exactly what he says, but he's like, hey, we're about to do this song. If you don't like it, go find yourself a jukebox. Like, it's truly it. Like, yeah. You don't have to press the button to listen to these songs if you don't like it. Mm-hmm. But I think that, I think what it's done for all of her collaborators, I'm forgetting the other woman's name on Blackbird, but it's Raina Roberts, Tanner Adele, Rhiannon Giddens, Shaboozey, those are the big ones. Mm-hmm. These Black people who were already working in the country space are now seeing like record high listens and record high follows on their socials. And
that's awesome.
That's the coolest part of this is that, no, Beyonce doesn't need to collaborate with anybody. She could put out an album with no notice, with no marketing, with no picture. She could just drop a CD in all of our mailboxes, old school Netflix style, and everyone would listen to it. So the fact that she's putting these people on is like, that's the reason for the season, y'all.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I know we don't do research, but while you guys were talking, I was trying to find, like, are the country stations playing? And I think, unfortunately, that data probably was going to be more out the intervening time. But it did seem like they basically, you know, and not surprisingly, had to cave to pressure to finally play Texas Hold'em.
Do you think they did? Because when we talked about it a few weeks ago or months ago, whenever it came out, they were adamantly saying, like, a lot of them, I shouldn't say all, but a lot of the stations were saying, we don't play Beyonce. And my point was, well, you've been playing Taylor Swift and she hasn't done country in a decade. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seems like many of them did. But yeah, it's not super
clear.
We'll
see. Like, local radio is a weird, squirrely beast that kind of bows to its own rules. So we'll see what this does. But I think it's going to really shake up. Aside from, like, the Beyonce of it all, I think that what it's going to do just for genre, musicians and artists that are in between genre, I really hope that it'll open doors and allow for them to get more mainstream success. Because... Mm-hmm. You know, right now, the state of the music industry is even harder to make it in than Hollywood. And the truth is, if you do not cleave to very specific rules, you know, and it's okay to love rules. We have a lot of listeners, I know, because we have a lot of listeners from the Trek sphere who love that things are a certain way and that they can count on them because rules are comforting. And so what genre does is it packages up all those rules and says, a song that fits into these rules qualifies as this genre, you're more likely to like it. So it's okay to find that comforting and to like that, but there's plenty of people that feel too bound by that and they just plenty of artists that don't get commercial success and then add into it the racial aspect. It's like,
yeah,
y'all, we gotta bust this down. And what better person to do it than like the most powerful woman in pop?
Yeah. Mm. Maybe it's like it's comforting and can make sense to have the rules, but like, you know, those rules also mean something, and sometimes those things that they mean are excluding people, or depending on how you look at these rules. And like, I guess it is even for the folks who like them, it's like the rules don't exist to make the music good. The like, you know, you can question them and move them around and think like what part of the rules do make sense and what part don't.
And really, it's just a way of describing art. It's not to make art cleave to the rule.
Yeah.
It's really just a way of saying, this is what I like about a thing that's kind of intangible.
And not to be mean, but if you are gatekeeping the rules of a genre, you're not a fun person to listen to music with.
Right.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
I guess it is like a little like... I can kind of see it both ways. I guess maybe I see it the same way. But it is like it's a little disappointing. It feels like a bit that like there are so many clear gatekeepers that like this album is like navigating around and through. But it also is just like the fucking reality of the situation and like. Mm-hmm. It is almost like this nice thing too. It's like watching like Beyonce like take on. I think the thing that was a little shocking. I was like, man, like the mainstream white country music establishment is so racist that they managed to make a billionaire number one pop star in the world the underdog somehow.
Yeah.
Like that's actually pretty impressive. So like she's like tilting at the establishment and
while making more money than most developing nations. Yeah.
She's like in the right in a way that I was like, man, you gotta be a real low ass, like just fucking horrible like institution that like fucking Beyonce can credibly be like the hero, like the underdog hero.
I know. That's what's so fucked up about racists is that it's like,
yeah,
this woman is so rich and powerful and so undeniably successful. And you've still managed to find a way to make her seem like, because she's black. It's
the hero.
It's pretty wild.
Or not that she isn't the hero, but the underdog is, I guess,
the underdog that we all need to like root for, which is just gonna have a wild backlash effect. But no, I think my favorite part of the whole thing is seeing these artists that she's putting on, and like some I like better than others. Like so as I dove into some of their bodies of work, I was like, oh, some of it isn't to my taste, but like she really chose people that have been in the space, are very different. They're all like all those black women she chose are all completely different, just to show the.
Yeah.
The real, I don't know, diaspora of black artists working in this genre. And it's really impressive. And just the beat, like from a production standpoint, this is some of the most beautifully produced music. Even if like these aren't your bangers, these aren't your types of tunes, if you like more dancey stuff, that's fine. But like there were some vocal stacks, like some choral vocal stacks that made me gasp. Like the production is so beautiful. The vocalizing, like the talent is one thing, but truly just like the producing of it. I think a lot of that is attributed to Rafael Sadiq, who's just incredible in so many ways. He did a lot of writing and producing on it, but it's so if you're a production head, it's a good album.
I wonder where they recorded it. Like if they did it in Nashville or Texas or I'm excited to dive deep into this album.
Please do. And then maybe we should do a little like, a specialty music episode on it. Cause there is a lot of production stuff that I was like, I want to get really nerdy. I want to know what microphone, like I'm listening to her sing Jolene. And I was like, I want to know what microphone that is. Cause she sounds delicious.
Oh my God.
Let's do a sub op up on it. We just break the whole thing down. We'll be a blast.
Suboptimalpods.com. And I'm guessing there will be more about this on Yoku We Live this week.
But maybe not. Sure.
We got a lot to talk about. Do we take a break?
We do.
Let's take a break and come back. We are back. I'm going to try one. Listen, we got one text that is not good for podcasts. So I'm going to attempt this one. And we could either cut it or we'll just make it a short thing. So we're going to go through here first. I'm putting, you can tell. Oh, wait, actually, no, I'm going to do this in order.
Wait, is this one of our, if you're new or if you haven't listened in a while, we changed up a little bit of the format of the show. We started accepting texts. That's one thing. You can text the same number that you've been calling.
323-389-7223. Sorry.
But we also have been allowing people to ask for general advice, which we normally do in the top of the show when I'm not talking about Beyonce albums. Is that what this is, Andrew? Or is this a racism text?
This is a racism text. Here is the body of the text message. I'll just read it out loud. My white grandma collects dolls. And here's why this is bad for podcasts. It's just three pictures.
Oh my God. Now,
I'm going to send through, this is just a live reaction. We'll send through the first one to the chat now.
Oh my.
Oh no. Oh no. So,
number one.
Who would like to describe this picture?
First of all, it's also like fucking like terrifying. These are all racist, but they're also all like haunted doll caliber of like distressed looking. This is, I'm guessing, it's supposed to be a native child who is crying. The face is quite red, we'll say.
It's entirely, the skin color is red to a point of, it's beyond offensive. It's insane. But also it just looks like a very scary little doll. Like, why does it look like this?
It's so gross and terrifying. That was number one. Number two is uploading itself to the group chat or to the Zoom chat.
What?
So,
it's a rat playing a drum. What's happening here?
My closest guess is it's supposed to be some version of like a tribes person, but it is definitely a rat or maybe a mouse.
That's the part that's racist, is we don't know if it's a rat or a mouse. I don't even understand enough to know what's wrong with this, but it feels bad.
It hits all the, it's not as terrifying looking, I guess, but it does hit all the racism, what the fuck is happening buttons.
Yeah, there's like paint happening on the mouse's face and hands that seem to suggest.
Yeah, that's true.
Something.
It is that like pan racism thing where you're like, listen, I know it when I see it. I don't even know exactly what it's getting at here, but obviously this shit is racist. Okay. number three.
It's like a Noodles and Company of racism. Mm-hmm. It's just all the types in one place. What It's a little geisha in a box with extra wigs.
Like a haunted doll level of geisha doll that has 1, 2, 3, 4 spare wigs. And then a handwritten note that says wig on doll everyday wear.
Mm-hmm. With that, that can only be described as greatest generation handwriting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is handwriting that either dodged the draft or, you know, was a lady.
Wrote a few letters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to delete
this handwriting. Wrote World War II letters from one end or the other. Kevin, that's so funny.
I will just say I did respond actually in text message this one. I just wrote back, yikes.
Yeah. Oh, see, that's an added bonus of texting us is you might get a little Andrew response.
Which is, I mean, again, I don't really know what to do with this. We have all the images.
I know what to do with it. Throw them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Throw out your grandma's creepy racist dolls.
Say you lost them.
Yeah. Oh, the first one is the worst one. It kind of came in the wrong order, I suppose. But Oh God, yeah. It's still up. I closed the browser window and the doll was behind it in a large image window.
Yikes.
See, you gave yourself a jump scare. Yeah, how do you confront your grandma about her racist doll collection?
Oh man.
I guess just like I guess you could always go the route of like, hey, grandma, I know you love old things, and I know you're not a racist. I know you're a lovely person who would have voted for Obama 3 times if you could. But think about, like, if somebody who doesn't know you comes over, what might they think? And don't you want to make sure people are comfortable when they come to your home? So maybe put these offensive dolls away. I don't know. That's like, that's a coward's approach, but you know, our grandparents are tender and old, and sometimes you don't want to be in a fight with them, which I understand.
Yeah.
Here's another coward's approach is, I don't know what your relationship is, A, with your parents, and B, your relationship with your parents to your grandparents. But I would take the approach of telling my mom, can you tell grandma to like put this shit away? This is
Yeah.
So, grandma, that's actually a good, make your parents do the heavy
lifting. This isn't your parents' problem.
Because then they can just blame it on you and be like, hey, put this away. My kids hate this.
Yeah.
And that maybe they will. I don't know.
If everyone then that's a different conversation. But if everyone diffuses the responsibility, then you're all good.
I think that's a great, Andrew, I think this was a good one. I think that jump scaring Kevin and I with these images, which we had not seen, actually made for great radio.
We'll probably have to, we'll coordinate on social media, I guess, and figure out a way to post these fuckers. But
should this be posted?
I don't think so. Just trust us, listeners. These aren't great.
Just trust us. It's bad. You don't want to see them.
Yeah.
All right. You can imagine. You can imagine.
I guess since we're all here and we talked about music so much, can we do the voicemail white reggae?
Yes. Give me 1 second.
Sorry, white Donnie. Reggae.
No, I can't wait. Hello. It's a music episode.
This question is probably mostly for Tawny. My white boyfriend listens to too many white reggae artists.
Ow.
And I don't like it. I'm not a huge reggae fan. He obviously knows and loves Bob Marley. I have suggested listening to more Scratch Perry, but I don't know like a lot about the reggae scene. And since Tawny has such excellent taste in music, I was wondering if she had any standouts she could recommend. I'm doing a little Googling.
It's very kind.
But
I don't
want to have to listen to that much reggae in order to get him into better reggae. So please help me.
Yeah, this is a lot of labor. Look, I'm not a big reggae head. I don't, it's not my genre.
Maybe throw on a Spotify reggae playlist and don't do your partner's Spotify because it sounds like it's good to go one direction. I'm sure there's some people on.
Yeah. Start
on those playlists there.
Yeah, start your own and let the robot make you a list and then do some deep dives and go down the thing. I guess I'm just like, I always get in trouble for recommending Spotify. I even, my end of year thing where I'm like, take your Spotify Wrapped and take your number one artist and buy their record from there directly or from their Bandcamp. And I posted that this last year and everyone was like, don't use Spotify at all. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, sorry. I'm just seeing everyone post their fucking like, yeah, they're terrible, but it is a good way to learn about new music and then you can
Or YouTube or whatever. I mean, it's hard to recommend any music streaming service. Yeah, but
the reality is like, anyway, let's just, if we could all agree that they are bad.
Yes.
We all agree that they're bad, and we all agree one of them will point us in the direction away from a white reggae artist.
Eventually.
Absolutely. Yeah, and like, just to get ahead of the like, well, why can Beyonce do country, but white people can't do reggae? And it's like, there's no can't. Like, no one's knocking, there's no cops knocking down the door of Snow or whoever the fuck. I couldn't even name another white reggae artist. I know that little about reggae. No one's telling them you absolutely cannot make this music. Does it feel sometimes strange to have genres that have traditionally been born out of, you know, cultures of color and the struggles that affect cultures of color? Because genre does talk about, you know, genre is made up of not just instruments and sounds and things, but also content and the types of stories being told within the music. So when those things are largely pioneered by artists of color, to then have white people do them later can be a little strange, especially if you're not doing them consciously, especially if you're not from the place that the genre originated. Is it illegal? No. But I think the bigger issue is your boyfriend is listening to, it sounds like, exclusively white reggae artists, which to me just seems hard to do unless you're trying.
That's a choice.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is that he said, like, I love this genre, but get the Browns out of it.
Yeah. Because that's not easy to do.
I love this genre and race.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you even find that many white reggae artists?
Yeah.
Truly. There must be a list. Oof. Don't go looking.
The algorithm is hustling for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my God.
The difference with country music is that country music, you know, like jazz music, is uniquely American. And two things that are uniquely American are white people and Negro people, literally descendants of slaves, because we don't have a home country. We are not immigrants. We don't have a home country to claim. Right. So descendants of chattel slavery are as American as the white people who think they can lay claim to country music. So that's what you can tell all the people that are like, Beyonce is culturally appropriating. And I'm like, no, she's not. She's from fucking Houston. She's the descendant of slaves.
Mm-hmm. And both those genres stolen from black people.
Exactly.
So
all of it is.
Two reasons. But yeah.
So many reasons.
Ultimately, the caller's question should go back to, there's an underlying thing that isn't, let's help my boyfriend listen to better reggae.
Yeah, it's how'd your boyfriend find
this much white reggae?
This much white reggae.
And why?
And why?
Also, I don't want to throw your relationship like on a litmus test, but like, how hard is he pushing back when you ask? That's a different conversation, but if he's like, I'm down for whatever, cool. But if he's like, no.
That's a conversation that you should different be convo. At least ready to have. This is, I know being old, and I have heard some of his music, so I know it's not correct, but in my head, Post Malone just looks like a white reggae guy. I understand it's not reggae, but
also on Cowboy Carter.
Yes,
there you go.
I did.
Did you know that?
No, I knew that because one of my favorite tweets I saw about it was, it sounds like Beyonce made Post Malone take a shower before coming into the studio.
That's awesome.
Not my tweet, someone else's tweet, but I was like, it does. He sounds cleaned up.
He also
seems like a nice man. I don't fucking know him.
Seems like a nice man. That's so crazy.
All I know is his song from the fucking Spider-Man soundtrack, which is fine.
Oh my God. Well, if you want to hear a cleaned up Post Malone, He's on the Beyonce album. Did you hear the Miley song? Did you have thoughts about the Miley? Now I just want your takes. I want Andrew's takes on Cowboy Carter.
I listened to the whole thing twice. I did it while I was driving, so I didn't pay super close attention. I did not clock the Miley song.
It's the big duet. It's the one that's going to take over. Remember when Shallow became everyone's karaoke duet? This is my prediction. This is the next one. It's beautiful. Both their voices are stunning. It's well produced. But I was like, oh, I see what they did here. They said, we need a Shallow.
Yeah. Well, I think I was, as someone who doesn't listen to much country, period, but when I do, it tends to not be like super, like, big modern produced country, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess I was like surprised. I don't know what I thought was gonna be, but yeah, I was a little surprised at the slickness of the production because I guess I'm an idiot. But yeah, just in general, I was like, oh man, this sounds like slick as hell. Like obviously, this sounds like CMT type stuff, or I guess like big expensive Nashville productions. But
yeah, it literally sounds like all the money in the world available to put on an album. It sounds like what I imagine a Marvel movie costs.
Yeah. Which I just didn't like, I don't know why I didn't expect that, but that surprised me a little bit in a way that I fully acknowledge makes me a bozo. No,
I tried to have my first dance with my mom at the wedding last weekend be Chicken Fried by Zac Brown Band. Her response was, why does everything have to be a joke?
Wait, Kevin, that would have made me so happy.
It was until like a week before the wedding, and she was like, it was this Midwest guilt of, you can do whatever you want. It's your wedding. I'm just saying. And I was like, okay, loud and clear. So we did Landslide by Fleetwood Mac.
I thought it was beautiful. That was, as I Thank loved you. It.
Kevin got married. You can hear all about.
Oh, yeah. Big wedding special.
The big wedding special on Yo Can We Live, available at suboptimalpods.com, our premium show where we don't talk about racism. We talk about big old parties that we went to that were so fun. All joking aside, I only barely recovered. Boy, I let me tell you this. The four, what time did I would say I had an espresso martini at like 5:17?
5 p.m. Yeah. We said, in honor of Kevin, let's make a mistake.
That is in honor of Kevin.
Oh, boy. It really got me good. Okay. Listen to that. Suboptimalpods.com. Listen, I don't want to overly encourage the insane multiple images, text messages, because that's going to... Listen, you're not likely to get on the show if you just send pictures of the racist stuff around your house.
Yeah, at least something, type something out to describe it. Give us something to read on audio medium, you know?
But I did enjoy that. But yeah, text away your questions, your regular just advice questions, 323-389-7223. That's it. Peace.
Yeah, bye. This is Suboptimal.